John Bloom from Desiring God Ministries once said, and I quote, "The most loving things we can do for others is love God more than we love them. For if we love God most, we will love others best." And Jesus is this is what he's doing here. He's like in John 16:33, he told his disciples that in this world they will have a lot of troubles. He was speaking to his disciples, and certainly he is speaking to us, telling us that this world will be a troubling place for us. We will have a lot of tribulations and troubles. And also, he went on, Jesus, to talk about these themes of troubles in this world. In John 17, he told his disciples that he was praying for them, to the Father for them, as they are in this world, because they are not of the world. And also, John picks this up in his epistles. Also, he developed this further. He said that because the world hated Jesus, the world will hate us also. But Jesus, in this text, he was doing something unusual to build up his disciples and to talk to us. He tells us that not only that we will have trouble from the world, but actually we will be a trouble to ourselves as believers. We will cause others to sin. We will cause people to sin because the things that cause people to sin are bound to come. This is what he's saying. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. So he's saying they are unavoidable, unfortunately. And he is here talking not about the world. He was not talking to the world, but he was speaking to his disciples. And he said as he was addressing his disciples, he said, some of us will actively be engaged at some point in sinning against God by sinning against one another. And so you might ask me, so okay, if it is true that we will wrong one another or each other, then what shall I do? How can I avoid sinning against a fellow brother or sister in the Lord? Because of course you don't want to do that. That is the natural attitude of a true believer. So no one chooses to do that deliberately, even though I say deliberately, because some people may want to do that, but the majority wouldn't want to do that. So how can we avoid that? So, well, Jesus gives us the answer. Yeah, he says here in verse 3, he says, so wash yourselves. Watch out for other believers with great concern. When you talk to your friends, when you interact with your fellow believers, you ought to be only a blessing to them. And so let us see how we go about this, how we can wash ourselves. So we keep wash ourselves that we don't cause them to sin. When we talk to them, we have to put them first. We have to be attentive, to be careful. As we talk to them, we don't say something that may cause them to sin, to fall down. Because what happens when you hurt someone? They fight back. They may respond, and their response really might be worse than your points or what you have said to them. You may cause them to sin even further to God. Most of my sins were when I reacted so badly to other people. I find myself really not loving. I find myself not being kind. So whether we interact with one another as member of one church or Christian community, or even as global Christians, wherever you go, you are to be a blessing to your fellow brothers, and to be kind to them and to be good to them. You seek to be a blessing than being a stumbling block. Because this is what happens. Jesus says, the thing that was caused people to fall down. Avoid to be a stumbling block. Things that are causing people, are going to cause people to fall down, to sin against God. So Jesus says, you need to be careful with this. So you need to watch out that you are so that you need to do that because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to sin against your brothers. Because you love Jesus the most. And that is why you are doing your best to love them the best. So I've come across this gospel band. I think that was in America. And they call themselves is Bill Gaither and Gloria, his wife. They do have a lot of people in their band from every background, from every background. And so this is how their song goes. Loving God, loving each other. Loving God, loving each other, and making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other. And the history never ends. They pushed back from the table to listen to his words, his secret plans before he had to go. It is not complicated. Don't need lots of rules. This is all you all need to know. Loving God, loving each other. Making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other. And the story never ends. If I can just say one more verse. We tend to make it harder. Build a steeple out of stone. Fill books with explanation of the way. But if we would stop and listen and break a little bread, we would hear the master say, loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends, loving God, loving each other, and the story never ends. So this is what really can help us avoid causing other people to fall down. When we are sensitive and we don't boast about our credential before them and put them down, when we put them first and we don't put each other first. This morning, one of our elders shared with the mission committee from Philippians chapter 2. He shared with us that we are always to obey the Lord, and we are to put others first, and instead of putting our own needs first. So we are to love others so that they don't fall. So this must be very clear to us. So how to speak the truth in love? Because here, when we are warned to watch out, is for our blessings and for the blessings of our fellow believers. And then also Jesus would encourage us to do that. Because when we are not saying wounding words against our brothers, they will be encouraged. They will be built up in their faith. So it is very important that we are very careful in our words and deeds. In our fellowship, we are to take the words of Apostle Paul in Romans 15 seriously. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. We who are weak must turn to Christ also for edification through his words and his spirit. And secondly, let me suggest to you how we can avoid being really a stumbling block to our fellow brothers. We don't only take the responsibility to keep ourselves from causing our fellow brothers and sisters to sin. On the other hand, we warn them when they sin. That is in verse 3 again. He says this: if your brother sins, rebuke him. Or other translation says, warn him. But actually, warning seems sounds really threatening, sound to be really harsh. But the original words, actually, warning is just like telling someone there is a danger that lies ahead of you. Actually, this is a rescue. You want to rescue your brother. So when they sin, and even here, this text in Luke especially didn't say when he sins against you, but it is implied. But in general, when you see your brother sinning and doing something that is not right, so you warn them. You warn them. You tell them that this is a wrong path. So you warn them, and you tell them that this is not the way to go, and it means to admonish them and charge them sharply, because you care, because you love them, and so Jesus is instructing us if we are to be his followers and to live a victorious life and to avoid really bringing each other down. I know this also. Sometimes when we share with people, even when we are sharing our testimonies, some of our brothers also, they may feel like they don't have these testimonies. And suddenly that invites evil spirits, really bad spirits, the comparisons and competitions and so forth, and jealousy. So this is not to be the case. And perhaps we need also to be sensitive when we share that we feel for our brothers who are hearing our testimonies. And sometimes also even our bad testimonies, when we share how we have fallen down, and our brothers also, instead of encouraging us, and then they say, oh, this person is a sinner, and so he can't live a true Christian life. That is not like that. We are, whether we are weak or strong, we are really to be sensitive, and so that we can finish well together, so that we can be the people Jesus here wants to be, and to avoid the work of the enemy and his snares. Because Jesus, as he says, so these things, these troubles, these temptations will come. Whether we know most of the time from the world, but actually the most troubling problems are within the body we face. And so the people in the world, we know that they are in the world, but within the community of faith, there are some terrible things as well. So we are not to do that. To give you one example, we see this a lot in the world. When I was traveling overseas, perhaps in 2005, I was taking a taxi. And this guy, I was sharing with him. He was a very gentle man. And he shared with me how his wife, he was a Muslim guy, left him because his wife was working in a school as a school teacher. And his wife had a colleague who was boastful, who would just come to school dressed up and talked a lot about his achievements and the things that he was doing for his family, you see. And so his wife fell attracted to the man. Even this man didn't initiate anything. And then suddenly this woman just started to break away from her husband, and not necessarily marrying that man, because and the man was devastated. And I fell for him, and I don't know why he shared that with me, but he shared it because he knew that the boasting of that man had a great impact on his wives. So we are to be careful. So we have to be willing to warn our brothers and with love and with great humility, we to tell them that. If they engage in such attitude, they may get themselves into trouble, and that cannot be remedied. So Apostle Paul, in following the teaching of his masters, he gave us also in Galatians 2:11 that it was a reality. He took the teaching of Jesus so seriously. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, we are told here by Paul that when they went to mission, Peter at Antioch was trying to leave really badly. And Paul tells us that he opposed him. He opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Because Peter was starting to withdraw from mixing with Gentiles because he was a Jew, but he was like trying to avoid the Gentiles. Before certain men came from James, so from Jews coming from Jerusalem to Antioch, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. So now Jesus taught in Luke 17, so that we avoid what is happening here in Galatians chapter 2, so that we don't go back and try to live in such a way that will make the sacrifice of Jesus meaningless, because Jesus died to save us, and not because we were Jews or we were Gentiles, but even Jews themselves, they needed a savior. But Peter was trying to do the wrong thing, and Paul stood against that, and he said, "What you are doing is not the truth. So we are not saved by our works or who we are, whether circumcised or not circumcised." So this is a clear indication from this text that we are to be prepared to tell each other that if we are not living consistently with the gospel of God's grace, and that is not it's not based on our performance of our education, of our knowledge, of our wealth, or anything else, but it's based solely on what Christ has done for us and His word, and so we avoid these sins. And also, we read also further there that Jesus said why he is warning us of these things. Because he says this in verse 1, woe to that person through whom they come. He says that, yes, trouble are coming. Yes, some of you will be tempted to sin against each other, but woe. Woe to the person. Jesus was saying, woe to you if you are going to behave in such a way, because the consequences are so great. And this is what he says about what happens. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck. So is this way of dying will be better than to face the judgment of God himself. And so that is why Jesus is warning these things. He tells us what will happen, and now he is telling us the way out, because for the reason that we don't come to the judgment, we don't come to the strong rebukes from the Lord, and instead of coming to receive commendation, well done, faithful servant. So Jesus is, in these six verses of Luke 17, is preparing us to be strong believers, and to be a people for whom he died. This is the fulfillment of our calling as believers in Christ. We are to be free of the things of the world, and to honor our Savior, to say that what he has achieved for us is far great, glorious, is far greater than what we see in the world. The way people abuse themselves and the way people put down themselves. Let me give you one example. You know, in our political system here in this country, the work of the opposition most of the time is when there is a problem with one member of the parliament or the government. All that they want to see is to bring down that person. I haven't seen someone trying to say, well, yeah, there is a mistake here, but let us move on. So let us hope that this this problem doesn't happen again. Even if the person who is doing this, who is bringing down this person, he knew that also he will be brought down. Because that is how it is. But it's not so in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't want his people to bring down each other in faith. Because the presence of sin and in our lives is something contrary to all that Jesus has done for us. And he's doing for us today. He is encouraging us to walk in holiness. He's encouraging us to walk in love. He's encouraging us to live supernatural life that he has given us. Because as we will see in verse 5 and 6, no one can do it in their own strength. So Jesus warns us that we are to be careful because what is going to happen will be much more costly. The judgment you are going to face. That is why he said, "Watch out, watch yourself." You see. So now the disciple will find that this is very, very difficult because who can rebuke with love? Who can forgive when sinned against? Because this is what verse 4 says. If he sins, if your brother sins against you 7 times. So 7 times a day. So no matter how much he sins against you, if he repents, forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. And Jesus, he's saying this because he knew that we will find it so difficult to do that. But here, this is an encouragement. So for Jesus always would not want us to be what he will not make us. He will not call us to live in such a way, to leave it to ourselves. Well, we see in verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, increase our faith, increase our faith. And Jesus will correct them. They recognize the fact that they cannot do that. And I believe if you are honest yourself, you cannot do it in your own strength. You will defend yourself so badly when people accuse you falsely. You will be tempted to be proud and to put others down. And it's something that you cannot avoid yourself. But the only way for you and I to be able to do this is to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, all that you need faith. All that you need is you need faith. It's not the amount of faith. Because his disciples were saying, increase our faith. And Jesus said that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, is the smallest seed ever among the seeds, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So the quality of faith that you need is the faith in Jesus, like what we read in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and having faith in him that all that he has done for us is sufficient for us to be able to do this, to have that faith, to have that attitude, to have that trust in him. Because Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the world. Jesus didn't save us and left us to ourselves. He is with us. He's our Lord. He lives in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he told his disciples that all that you need to depend. You need to depend on the Lord's help. You need to depend on him day by day. As you need to forgive your brother every day. So you need this strength and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God clouding your mind, clouding your heart always, so that you are protected from being a stumbling block to your brother and your sister. All that you will have is to, you would want them to be strong and to be and to love the Lord and to honor him and even to advance his kingdom. That is why you want to pray for your fellow believers, so that they are strong in their faith, so that they don't fail in their walk with the Lord. They will be a blessing to others. Jesus says, if you have this faith, you will be able to do that. So to keep watch of yourself, to warn our brothers or sisters, and to forgive them those who sins against you, even lots of times. So you need this type of faith. You need this quality of faith, the faith of the gospel. The face that does not lie with you, and how clever you are and how resourceful you are, is how Christ is sufficient. It's how the glorious Lord is present with us, filling us with love, loving God and loving one another. Because it is only when we love God the most that we will love each other the best. So that is why we need to be careful with this. So Luke 17, 1 to 6, if you have never read this text, it's one of the most important texts in the New Testament. And in the body of the teaching of Luke Gospel, you need to take it to heart that you need to know that we as Christians today, our problems are not from outside most of the time. We are a problem to ourselves. At times, we are our most enemies, our worst enemies, if I could say that. But let us hold fast to the teaching of Christ our Lord. As he is warning us that it's going to be so hard for those who are causing others to sin. Those who, if you are discouraging those who are following me, if you become a source of discouragement, a stumbling block, to those for whom I died, those who are precious to me. So you are not my friend, and you are going to face a judgment. And of course, I know in our Reformed tradition, they said that believers don't lose their faith. And certainly that is true. But I think they will go and explain that, qualify that by saying, well, if you can act in this way, if you can be a stumbling block to your brother, and then perhaps you are not saved. That would be their explanation. Well, whether that is what they will say or not, but all that we have here is that we are capable of discouraging one another and of causing each other to fail from loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us speak the truth in love to one another, like Paul himself, when he was facing Peter, he did that rightly. How many times I was corrected by my friends, and if I have to tell you testimonies, testimony after testimony, even in this country. I think I must have shared this with you before, that one day my friend told me that I was wrong because I was wounded by a people, and then I was reacting really so badly against them. And so they complained that I was so bad, and I did this, and I did that. And so my friend said to me, "You are wrong," into my face. And well, I trusted my friend. If he said to me I was wrong, so, and I knew it was because he loves me. That is why he was correcting me. When he said that, my response was mixed with grace, because God was present to help me. So God gave me faith now to respond. And I said, well, I need to pray. I need to ask God. And I prayed. And I asked God for forgiveness. And I repented of my sins, because my friend said to me, "You are a man of God, you are a Christian, and so you can't just hold things against people like that." And I said to him, "You are right, and I needed to repent." And I repented, of my sins. And I started to pray for those two people who were accusing me of wronging them. And I prayed for them, and after that we greeted each other, and then I drove back. I was in Frankston. As I was driving back, I was driving my brother who was coming from America, and he said to me that my prayers was from my heart because I felt the release. So let us watch ourselves, because we love Jesus Christ. And when we love Jesus, we will love those whom for whom he died. Amen.